Pop culture and politics are predestined to intertwine, and there is nothing one can do to keep them separated. However, what does it say about an electorate which can be influenced by a bedazzled celebrity or an athlete's opinion rather than a well-educated professional? As both presidential contenders continue to seek and boast of star endorsements, on this edition of 360 View, we're going to look at the role pop culture is going to play in the 2024 presidential election. I'm Sky Nell Hughes. Let's get started. President Joe Biden is looking to fuel his re-election bid with an endorsement from one of the nation's biggest stars, Taylor Swift. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is saying if Taylor endorses Biden, it would be disloyal because he, quote, made her so much money. Now, Donald Trump is trying to tell his donors he is more popular than the international pop star, and his base is larger and more loyal than the Swifties' army. Now, Trump enjoys a base of supporters who have proven immovable, but Swift's fans have also become known for their diehard commitment to her. Now, one Instagram post from the singer about National Voter Registration Day caused a 1,226% increase in traffic to the website she directed it to, vote.org. Now, the nonpartisan nonprofit recorded more than 35,000 registrations. That's a 23% jump from the midterms election year of 2022. This isn't the first time Donald Trump and Taylor Swift have traded words. Back in 2018, Taylor Swift came out against Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn and told her fans to vote for the opponent, a Democrat.
I'm sure Taylor Swift has nothing or doesn't know anything about her. And let's say that I like Taylor's music about 25% less now, okay?
You know what? Donald Trump likes my music 25% less.
But I'm not so old to remember when the first crossover of pop culture into politics actually caused career-ending damage. The year was 2003. And on a stage in London, Natalie Maines of the popular country band formerly known as the Dixie Chicks spoke to the crowd just days before the invasion of Iraq.
We're ashamed the President of the United States is from Texas.
This statement, once published by The Guardian, started a domino effect of music and concert sales plummeting and major sponsors like Lipton Iced Tea pulling their promotional contract with the group. And while that single event might have hurt the Dixie Chicks' standings in the music business, the attention it drew to politics and pop culture showed the power celebrities garner to not only put a spotlight on an issue, but more important, persuade an ideology onto their adoring fans. Now, this power has only been amplified by technology and the development of social media. Let's discuss how pop culture is going to play in the 2024 election with our guests, Desi K. Robinson, health professional, doula and media analyst, and media and political analyst, Lionel. Thank you so much for joining me.
Indeed.
Okay, so this is somewhat might consider a very superficial topic. I mean, obviously, pop culture is going to have an effect on politics. However, I'm going to start with you, Desi. Do you think we are overestimating or underestimating the effect pop culture has on politics today?
I don't know if we can necessarily say that it can be over or underestimated. I think it's relative to what we have come to understand about the infusion of popular culture and media within the landscape. I think it's always been a part of it in third world countries where there had been the high levels of illiteracy. They had always used radio to inform citizens about candidates. Even the rollout of the BBC increased votership in the 1920s. And we've had a succession of media and popular culture infused. I mean, you could look all the way from not necessarily the news in the 1980s to editorial cartoons to MTV's Rock the Boat wrote in the 90s, even SNL sketches and Weekend Update have always had a highlight and a commentary around politics. And that is oftentimes how people even learn about some of the issues that are being raised. It is through popular culture.
But Lionel, you know, in the last 20 years, people have said they get their news and their information more from a place like Comedy Central than from the 5 p.m. news. Has pop culture changed and the influence it has on politics? Whether before, people now look to it as a source of information, not necessarily just a source of humor.
Well, first of all, to segregate it as somehow different or illegitimate, I think is incorrect. You know, the Breitbart doctrine says that politics is downstream from culture. And the emphasis here is popular culture. You know, a couple of things happen. You mentioned the Dixie Chicks. Sometimes an effect doesn't work as thought. The Dixie Chicks went against what we thought was a rather unpopular, perhaps, Republican President George Bush. That didn't work. Kathy Griffin came out against Donald Trump. She was blackballed. Who can figure this thing out? Neil Young decided to go after Joe Rogan regarding his thoughts, his flippant, allegedly flippant comments regarding vaccines and the like. And Joe Rogan was forced to issue an apologia, threatening to pull him. So since the days of Frank Capra, and by the way, pop culture, but prop culture, as in propaganda, during World War II, Capra, Warner, everybody used movies. So I would respectfully submit that pop culture is more important than, quote, news media, especially with dwindling newsrooms being shuttered daily.
But how do you keep the standard then to be something that you're not having this infiltration of propaganda? Is it, if you're wondering, if that's what people are going to be looking for, how do you keep a standard of what's the truth and not? And what's the detector of that, Desi?
If I knew the answer to that, I'd bottle it, sell it, and I'd be a wealthy woman. I think that power always is what dictates what is popular, what is politically relevant. And so I think the question is really, who has the power? And who's to say where the winds will blow? What celebrity will get canceled, you know? Which I'm not sure if I even agree with the whole idea of cancel culture. I think accountability culture is probably more in line with what, you know, that is. And I would say that, and I think that I would agree. I think that popular culture, it lives in the imagination of people.
Well, and that's the thing, Lionel, because some people look at it and go, you know what, keep athletics separate from pop culture or from politics. Keep music separate from politics. They look to the elements that make up pop culture to escape politics. Is that just unrealistic?
Before a football game, there are examples of military and flyovers and the national anthem. What does a national anthem have to do with a baseball game? I never even understood that one. And the idea, you know, we sometimes, you know, in my generation, I remember Walter Cronkite. And that was the gold standard. Walter Cronkite was God. CNN, I remember when CNN first started, that was the gold standard. It was so terrific. Then we have Don Lemon, case closed. Look, you may like something, laugh at something. You may consider a song to be relevant. Stephen Stills, his song For What It's Worth with Buffalo Springfield, became the anthem against the Vietnam War. A song. It was always used to punctuate what people think. Popular culture and news are the same. You might look at something, and by the way, sometimes people in our world will look haughtily at social media or a rapper or a song or a singer and say, oh, look at that. That's not news. What do they know? And that's not the truth. Excuse me. What is the truth? You define that one. Tell me what is valid. I know people who look at their phone, and if it's Facebook, look, as long as they're getting something, but you do one thing, and I say politics. Either you get on board or just forget about it, because you better understand this is a new world, a completely new world.
Well, and to Lionel's point, Desi.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree. And my mind is blown with how much I agree with you, Lionel. But, I mean, even think about the Martin Luther King holiday. There were so many people, you know, we sort of have this amnesia about how vitriolic people were against Martin Luther King and Muhammad Ali, but now they are heroes. That Martin Luther King holiday had to go through so many rounds of Congress, and it was when Stevie Wonder came out with his Happy Birthday song that really turned the tide.
So in that case, you say the pop culture obviously issues change. But at the same time, we don't trust the media. We don't trust the politicians. Could you say that people now are going to start looking at elements of pop culture because they are becoming so infused and not trust that movies have an agenda now? Anything on Netflix because the Obamas are behind it, people don't trust because it's pushing a certain narrative or agenda. Same thing with music. Is that not a danger, Lionel?
Well, let me tell you two things. One of the most important things that never happened regarding one of the most important red pill subject of my life, and that's the JFK assassination, was Oliver Stone's JFK. It was a movie. It changed everything. Where did the Zapruder film debut? On the Geraldo Rivera show in like 1975. And let me also tell you something, and I love to tell this to my friends, especially in the business. One of the most important and seismic events that happened recently was Cat Williams on Club Shay Shay that completely changed everything in terms of how we view this. Tucker Carlson's interview with Vladimir Putin, this went worldwide. This is causing conventional mainstream media to say, wait a minute, what are we doing in terms of numbers and metrics and excitement? You can't beat that. But most people in the news business say, well, that's not news. Those aren't journalists. Oh, really? More people know who they are than who the people who laugh at them are.
Well, the good news is our audience know who the two of you are, and you're going to stay because after the break, when we come back, we're going to look at how social media platforms like Facebook and X have only supersized the power pop culture has in politics today.
When all truths seem wrong, when old rules just don't hold, and a new world is yet to shape out, disdain becomes the etiquette, and engagement equals betrayal. When so many find themselves worlds apart, we choose to look for common ground.
Вот и самый знаменитый учебник по истории Украины. Древнейший период в истории украинского народа длился свыше 140 тысяч лет. На следующей странице буквально читаем. Был линий человека разумного около 35-40 тысяч лет тому назад. То бишь, когда обезьяны слезали с деревьев и встречали древние украинцы.
Пошли старания местных историков, что Иисус Христос был украинцем. Создавалась и проектировалась нация, которая будет всегда в конфликтной ситуации по отношению к русскому народу, к русскому государству.
Шухевть! Герои Украины!
Centuries ago, your forebears named this country Ukraine or Frontier because your steps link Europe and Asia. But Ukrainians have become frontiersmen of another sort.
Україна і український президент є об'єкт, тобто нами грають. Тим більше, як би це цинічно і сумно звучало, грають в темно.
Ми живемо в незалежній Україні, правильно? Причому тут московська. А й буде Бандера, національний герой.
Дуже важко буде поєднання польсько-українське в часах, коли богатирем України є Степан Бандера.
Welcome back. You're watching 360 View, and I'm Scotty Nell Hughes. You know, JFK Jr. used a magazine article to help promote literacy in the community. There wasn't any backlash. In fact, he was praised for this innovative idea. Are we beyond the point where pop culture could be used to make the world an actual better place? Or is that unrealistic utopian thinking? Well, let's ask our panel. Rapper Bryson Gray joins us, Desi K. Robinson, a health professor, doula, and media analyst, and of course, Lionel, media and political analyst. Thank you so much for joining us. Bryson, welcome to the party. You are a person who has benefited from pop culture and politics crossing over. You were known within the rap community prior, but definitely your creation of a song about Trump made your name more of a household name, especially amongst Trump supporters.
Donald Trump is your president. And if you like it or not, keep the energy you had with Barack.
But Do you feel like we should be using pop culture in more responsible ways to influence good behavior, not necessarily political, ideological positions?
Of course. I haven't even made a political song necessarily in like years. I've been focusing on more family messaging and messaging around my faith. And that seems to hit people in their heart more. I think the issue with pop culture and politics and other things is you have to do it in a positive way. We have to create our own celebrities and our own pop culture icons because the industry is not going to let us do it. I've had multiple Billboard charting songs, and they still don't let me anywhere close to certain areas because my messaging is too controversial.
And your messaging is usually, like you said, family values controversial. That's what's interesting about this. Desi, in your case, when you look at it, should there be any accountability when pop culture gets it wrong and they later have to backtrack kind of what they, should they apologize at least?
I think apologies with action are really what matter. And I don't know if I necessarily think that pop culture icons should be responsible for being role models. But what I do think is that people with very large platforms should be responsible for what they have power to do. And that includes inciting riots and creating chaos in concerts. I think that you have to be responsible for the reach and the spread of your platform.
Well, and that's interesting because I'll bring in the legal side of it, Lionel. There's currently several trials going on of rap artists that they are putting the blame for a rise in violent crimes, specific crimes in the streets based on the lyrics of certain music. They've also attributed, obviously, to video games, to the mass school shootings. Are we entering in? Should there be a form of law that has to deal with this sector?
Absolutely not. Listen, I've been listening to this since in my days when they were playing Paul is Dead, supposedly, if you could play the Beatles records backwards. And why anybody would play them backwards, I have no idea. Then there was Ozzy Osbourne, and the same thing with rap. I remember Two Live Crew. I remember talking to Luke Skywalker or whatever years ago in Florida, and I said, this is a song. Now, I may listen to a song about violence and not be violent. What if I listen to the Bible? What if I took the message of Lot's daughters and I went out and advocated incest? Are we going to ban the Bible? Right now, as we speak, Mein Kampf is in the New York Public Library. But they want to, that's okay. Listen, when we get into book burning and information, if you don't like it, turn it off.
Well, and that's the thing, Bryson, because you have seen the calling and the blaming of politicians who have recognized how powerful pop culture is to have in their corner. Or should there be some blame placed on the population who can be persuaded by celebrities so easily to vote just because their favorite person tells them to?
I think both deserve some responsibility. As a rap artist, I think there's levels. You have rap in the form of drill rap where they're literally talking about crimes and talking about real people that died and talking about real people that they have killed and real gang wars. I clearly they're admitting to crimes on songs, so I think there's levels to it. As far as taking responsibility, if you have influence, you know you have influence. What are you doing with your influence? Now, they shouldn't be legally responsible in any way, but they should be called out, they should be rebuked, and they should be exposed, and hopefully people recognize that and follow the light rather than the dark.
Well, and Desi, obviously social media platforms in the last 20 years have grown the reach that even grassroots people, a part of pop culture, influencers. Now you have political influencers that are on all platforms. What role do you see these social media platforms playing? And do you think the platforms themselves have any responsibility in regards to defining what is considered to be disinformation that is being pushed from their specific form?
I think social media has a wide reach. I think it has the power for great good. And with that kind of power, it can easily be swayed for harm. And so I do think that there should continue to be moderators on these platforms. I think it's absolutely important. I think when misinformation and disinformation and purposeful lies and harm is being disseminated to people, I think there have to be moderators on these platforms.
And yet we saw Lionel, John Kirby came out and said it's actually that TikTok is too dangerous. And you have seen bans being pushed amongst the federal government, amongst state governments to ban TikToks, the app TikTok from people's phones that are government paid for. Yet, just recently, Joe Biden himself and his campaign joined TikTok.
Deviously plotting to rig the season so the Chiefs would make the Super Bowl, or the Chiefs just being a good football team?
You get in trouble if I don't.
Trump or Biden?
Are you kidding? Biden.
The president is sending a message to Americans about the safety of TikTok by doing this.
I'd have to refer you to the campaign on that decision. Campaign. Nothing's changed about the national security concerns from the NSC's perspective about the use of TikTok on government devices. That policy is still in place.
Help me to understand this.
Leave TikTok alone and Twitter and X, and that's a billboard. That's like saying banning radio or banning the phone. Let me just make one comment that our colleague said. In no way am I ever going to advocate or allow, if I have anything to say with it, a moderator to determine what is true and what is not true. What is misinformation, disinformation, data information, or what is hate speech, what is vile, what could... No. Everything you say, I promise you, you cannot say anything that I cannot refute, rebuke, or in any way challenge in terms of the verity. We saw this during COVID. We saw people who said, I have an opinion regarding ivermectin, and you would have thought these people were advocating heresy, for God's sakes. No. Listen, I want to live in a country where I have this thing called the First Amendment. And the First Amendment is this wonderful idea that says, if you don't like what I say, challenge me. Tell me I'm wrong. Go up against me. Or turn off that which I'm saying. I love when people used to say that we should have ratings on albums. Remember that? Should be rated G. It was Tipper Gore against Frank Zappa. And Donny Osmond said, thanks a lot. Now, nobody's going to buy my record because it says G. So now I'm going to have to deliberately put something in there that I didn't want to in order to sell it. See, this is a bunch of do-gooders. This is America. Say whatever you want. I have never been harmed by anything anybody's ever said. Might have had my feelings hurt, but I've never been harmed. And if I don't like it, turn it off. Simple.
There have been people who have been harmed by things that have been said. And it is mostly marginalized people.
Name one.
What do you mean? Name one person who has been harmed by things that people have said.
Tell me, yeah.
I mean, let's talk about January 6th when somebody came out and screamed about revolution. And now we have a whole case of why this free speech has limits. Free speech does not allow you to go into a theater and yell fire.
Nobody yells fire in the theater.
I was there.
January 6th.
I was there.
January 6th is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. There was no insurrection.
Let me tell you something. Hold on. Let's go to Bryson Gray, since Bryson was there. Bryson, your response first.
I was there. I got investigated by the FBI. My phones got tapped. You know the first thing the FBI told me when they came to my home? They said that they know I wasn't in the building. But they still came and investigated me, tapped my phones, and persecuted me anyway. We didn't harm anybody at January 6th. All of that got debunked. Speaking of lies, you said misinformation should be moderated. This is a fact, by the way. All the people, something happens to them after. Only one person was injured. One police officer was injured. But we didn't kill anybody while we was there. But we got killed. Multiple people of us got killed while we was there. Also, I'm a victim of actual...
Fingers broken. Come on now.
But
it's a riot. It's a riot. It was a riot. So what? Let me tell you something. Wait. If I stood up and applied that application, Dr. King, Malcolm X, nobody would have said anything because somebody could take what they're saying the wrong way because they're advocating sedition. Because if you read the seditious conspiracy statute, I guarantee you can't sneeze without violating it. Don't ever confuse what happened. That was trespass and rioting. And what you're saying is disinformation. This is it. You are perpetuating an absolute lie. It was impossible.
Are you kidding? People's eyes.
Ashley Babbitt was killed.
Was
doing
shot.
Nothing.
We were. And we you was, had. We were shot with rubber bullets.
And you wrecked the Capitol.
But hey, let's bring this back. I want to bring this back, though, Desi. How can you take the words that were said and say that the results was because of the words said by Donald Trump or anybody else that was there at the march? Are you directly saying that that was what motivated anything that happened on the steps that day? was just the words?
Okay, so let's say that he did not intentionally incite a riot. When his words showed to have played out in violence, why did he not stop it? Why did he wait hours and hours?
See, now you're saying, wait a minute.
Because
now
we knew you're charging that his words would stop it. If his words
you just went from inciting a riot to not stopping it. That's called misprision. And there is no law in this country that you can be found guilty of. And I'm a lawyer that says you didn't do something to stop something unless you're a police officer or you're trained to do this. This January 6th stuff is a fraud. And let me tell you something. I've never seen in my life. It was stupid. There was no insurrection. There was no sedition. And what Donald Trump did was he has a big mouth. And if you locked everybody up who has a big mouth, we'd all be locked up. And the fact that you can sit here and say that he should be what he said, he never, ever said riot. He never, ever said violate. He never, ever said that. You're making this up. You are perpetuating misinformation.
I want to give Bryson the last word on this case. And Bryson, the Supreme Court has recently come out and said that it was not an insurrection, that it was not titled an insurrection. They're using that dealing with what is going on with Colorado and the removal of Trump from the ballot. Last word, pop culture, influence in politics. Desi obviously feels like it influenced it negatively, the results and the actions. How do you feel and what's your final thoughts?
I am a victim of being banned from platforms like Spotify. I've had music banned. I'm one of the few artists that have ever got their music completely banned on Spotify for something called hate speech. She's advocating for moderation, so I don't even have a real chance to even put out a positive message because it probably hurts the LGBT community according to her logic. But you can talk about murder, though, and everything is good. You can talk about everything else and everything is good. You can talk bad about Christians and everything is good. You can commit blasphemy and everything is okay. But when I disagree, it isn't okay. So no, if they're going to allow one thing, they should allow it all, and that's including me talking about a biblical message. And that's how we change pop culture, and that's how we bring positivity into it.
Desi, Bryson, Lionel, thank you so much for this lively conversation. It's the conversation that we need to be having in this country, especially if we can come to some sort of respectable end at the end of this conversation. Thank you. Okay, let me just be frank with you. I do find it a little ironic to watch Donald Trump have any complaints about a figure of pop culture like Taylor Swift remarking or being involved in politics. Because the truth is, Donald Trump did not rise to be president from the ranks of the political world. Donald Trump, because of his popular TV show, The Apprentice, movie roles, music tributes, was one of the most well-known celebrities in multiple pop culture arenas, all of this prior to announcing his run for office in 2015. It was his name recognition which drew so many who had never even paid much attention to politics to even get involved. Prior to this, the only president to have much involvement in pop culture was Ronald Reagan. But he was more known for his popularity as governor of California than his few minor film roles. Therefore, the group who might be complaining the most about the influence pop culture has over politics might be the same one whose election is a result of the strength of pop culture. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.